Okay, hello and welcome to another week of Big Little Questions
with Dee Dee.
With Dee Dee and Benjamin. We're so glad to be here. We're in person. I feel so blessed to have you as a neighbor so that I could just come over here earlier today for prep, now for the show. And we'll get to introductions in a second. But to start, this is Big Little Questions on Midwave Radio. Big Little Questions is a show where we talk about big and little questions. Most of the questions come from my journals over the last couple of years. Sometimes there's a fun one that gets added by a participant in the show. And I like my friends and I like their brains, so I like to talk to people about the questions and see if we can get anywhere. As always, if you're listening, send me a message both so that I know and also as a sound check, because I want to make sure that you can hear us both. And now I will introduce you. So I'm right here with Benjamin. So we actually have known each other for quite a long time, in a way.
In a way.
You were a teacher at Peyton when I was there, my high school. I did not have you as a teacher, but I do remember that you were like this other young teacher who came in. You were friends with Mr. Hyman, Ben, in the math department, and I was like, he's energetic. That's what I remember about you. And that's what I remember people saying about you. It's like, he has a lot of energy. And then I didn't really know you. And then summer, I think it was the end of summer 2020, Lila and I were at the lake, we're at the point, and we were like, is that guy? Is that Mr. Walker? And we kind of went up to you, and you had no reason to know who we were, and we were like, hi, we went to Peyton. We're like, oh, we moved to Hyde Park pretty recently, like,
yeah,
you know, great to meet you, blah, blah, blah. And then I saw you a couple times, and then a really important moment in your life, certainly, but for this conversation, our relationship, is that you had a baby on May 15th, mm-hmm. 2021, and yeah, when that baby was, I think, 11 days old, you guys were on a walk at the point, and I was hanging out with Lila. Lila was coming to meet me, and Lila, and I love babies, as I apparently we'll get into in the show. And Lila said, Dee Dee, I guess who I just ran into with their 11-day-old baby? And I was like, I don't know. But whoever it is, I want to know them. But who? She was like, Mr. Walker, that Peyton teacher, and Katie Mapp, his wife, who plays French horn, which we knew for many years. And I was like, I must know them. And I went through a roundabout way of getting your phone. I texted Ben Hyman. I was like, do you have Mr. Walker's phone number? I heard he has a baby. I have to become friends with them. Ben Hyman was like, first of all, I'm also having a baby soon, just so you know. Second of all, here's Mr. Walker's number. And I texted you.
Yeah,
I remember this. I texted you and I was like, hi, we met. I babysit. And you responded so quickly. You said, this is exactly the kind of go-getter we want in our daughter's life. That was so funny. You go, how easy is it for you to get to such and such intersection? Yeah. And I was like, well, I live literally one block away, so it's exceedingly easy. Yeah. And since that moment, I have seen you so often, so frequently, which has been such a blessing. I love your whole family. I have such love for all of you guys. I like love, obviously, I love your baby.
Yeah.
But I also love you guys. And every single time that I see you guys at the lake, see one or both of you, see any combination of you guys at the lake, I'm like, yes, okay, here we are. Like, let's go. And a couple things that I want to say by way of like how I see you and how I like see you interacting in the world. I said that we had a brief conversation about this earlier, but I want to like highlight this, that something that is like wonderful and remarkable about you is that the way that I perceive you is that you start relationships and start interactions from a place of like what feels like pretty solid trust. And then, you know, if that gets broken or gets questioned, then you go from there. But that's not your starting point. Your starting point is like, yeah, you can hold my baby. Yeah, do you want a beer while you're holding my baby? Yeah, I'll tell you this thing, whatever it is. And I think that that is like really something quite special about how I see you and how we've been able to come to know each other. And the other thing that came to mind as I was thinking about introductions in terms of how I want people to know you is that you are so like easy with your love. Like you are so giving of like, it's great to see you. I love you. We love you. Happy you're here. Do you want to do this? Do you, all of the things. And it just makes it like such a pleasure to be in your presence. And it's something that I am like so, so grateful for in knowing you in general. And it's, and in particular in the last year, it's just something that makes me feel like loved and seen and like you want to be around when you are around and it doesn't, and it feels very real. And that is just, I feel like those are the things that I want people who don't know you who are listening to know about you as we go into this conversation. So with that, I will pass it to you for anything you want to add by way of introduction before we kind of jump into it.
What a beautiful introduction, Dee Dee. Wow. There are so many things that I love about you. It's so nice. Wow.
I mean, you don't have to get into those.
Oh, no. Don't. This is going to be the whole show, right?
No.
I'm just kidding. Sort of. But I actually have to go back.
They're going to say I have to go.
And amend like, part of the story. Because you are actually much more a go-getter than you give yourself credit for. Because I am almost certain that you reached out to me and Katie before we even had a movie. I'm almost sure about this. Yes, because I feel like you're like I'm pretty sure you're going to have a baby. And maybe like Lila ran into Katie Mack when she was pregnant.
Maybe.
And so you like got it, you and that 11 days old thing, I think that's when you came to our house to meet Ollie.
Okay, I have it differently, but I believe you.
I'm just saying
the spirit of the thing.
I'm just saying that
I'm
is
with you.
That is the go-getter we need in our daughter's life.
Mm-hmm.
Is the person who loves babies so much that you reach out and say, hey, I would love to meet your baby and be a babysitter ready to go. It's been so fun to learn more about this radio show that you've been doing for, what, 2.5 years?
Just a year and a half.
Okay, a year and a half. Not just. And
relative to 2.5 years.
Yeah, a wonderful year and a half. I feel like I've gotten to know you in just the pre-work so much better, and I feel like it's what a beautiful idea, what a genius idea it feels like to get to know people really well, to build close relationships. It's just very lovely and lovingly done to bring these people into your life and have this enthusiasm and excitement for bringing their voices and their ideas and being so vulnerable with your own questions that you're staring in the face of as you go through what is a tumultuous part of our lives for all of us, thanks to COVID, but also just a very wild time for, you know, somebody in their 20s. That's great. That's great. There's this great moment that I'm going to share just to stall, not to stall, but just because I have an idea that you probably don't give as much credit as you deserve. And there's this great moment at your birthday party last night where
recent history.
I just thought like, wow, Dee Dee is her own type of magic. Because there are all these people at the point, and I mean, hopefully some of them are listening, but it was just this wonderful gathering. I've never seen so many people in one place, you know, to celebrate. So it was just so nice. There were people everywhere, like elbows deep and like reconnections and all. But then, you know, one thing I love about the point is it can bring together all sorts of people, even people who like maybe not feel the most comfortable in a crowd or mm-hmm. maybe not super, you know, excited about big social gatherings. And you know, like you're in the middle of this party and everybody wants to talk to you and be with you, and you are aware enough of everybody that you kind of go over to a person or two who are kind of on the fringes, who are kind of like, I don't know, to me as a teacher, because I'm always, it was like such a wonderful moment of like, oh, there is a person who is compassionate and who loves others and who is self-aware enough to like bring them into the fray. I don't want to bring up too much of like your high school career, but it was such a pow moment of like, let me bring this particular wonderful person, you know, who might feel like maybe doesn't know that many people at this big gathering, because there's people from everywhere, you know, people from the North Side, people from all of, you know, like everybody from all, you know, and
yeah.
Mm. And it was just so sweet. And I watched that and thought, man, Dee Dee is A+.
Wow.
Katie and Ollie and I had a really nice time sending you, your friend was so cool to organize that love letter, but we said in the love letter, we love you and we're grateful for you in our life. And you know, maybe that feels free and easy to you, but you know, I feel like you are deserving of that in a way that is not free and easy. That's not what you said about me, but you said like, oh, I'm really giving with my love or something. I was like, well, maybe, but also, you are really magical in my daughter's life. And so that gets us to our first question, doesn't it?
There we go. Here we are in the post-birthday episode of Big Little Questions. Will you do us the honor of reading the first question? And we're gonna try to repeat it a couple times throughout. Something people often ask me to
do. Okay, great. Repeat the question, and I'll read it first. Why do I love babies so much?
Okay. So, I'm going to start. I know you have your own ideas about how you want this to go, but in fact, we're going to fight here. I'm going to start by asking you the question that I like to ask everyone, which is, there's a conservative estimate is like 30 plus pages of questions in this document.
Yeah.
Which you looked through, you know.
Yeah, I've probably read 100 of them.
You read a lot of them. How did this question float to the top of the top of the list?
Oh, top of the list is so easy, because I have never met somebody, Dee Dee, who loves babies so much. When I wrote that question, it's definitely your, like, it's the question of, like...
Well, and we didn't say, I think I wrote this on the day that I, like, met, or, like, very close to the day that I met Oli.
We were looking at that, and it is kind of romantic, if it was the day that you met her.
In fact, you commented, I think you misspelled Oli.
Yeah. How I love Oli so much. That was funny. So... Just because I like, so I have, I'll share for me first, and then I hope you, because it's not the same for you. For me, I basically went through my life, you know, kind of marginally happy for my friends with kids.
Yeah.
There's a few young kids where, you know, for whatever reason I had close, not like semi-close relationships, but basically babies were just like, wow, I don't have any particular feelings about them.
Sure.
They're not like anti-baby or anything. Just like, wow, whatever. Cool. Great. You got a baby. You're psyched about it. Awesome. That sounds cool. Maybe. I don't know. Just like kind of apathy.
Yeah.
In a not like horrible way.
No, just
like happy for my friends, but just like no personal feeling. Okay. So now I have my own kid. And now when I see a baby.
Well, she is magnificent.
Well, I agree. And I mean, part of why I chose this question is because I love the idea of leaving little parts of Katie's and my life for her when she's really young to capture later on.
Fingerprints, as you said earlier.
Yeah, that's right.
In a different context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's part of why I'm so voracious with taking photos of her.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, Katie and I keep a journal. about her so that she can, you know, maybe read and laugh at, like, what a wild time we're having.
Yeah.
You know, trying to learn how to be parents and do a halfway decent job of it. And these are all things that I think I would have really loved from
yeah.
my mom and my dad, especially because he passed when I was really young. And so, like, this thing, you know, so sweet. Like, this thing we're doing right now, Big Little Questions with Ollie's favorite babysitter, is in a way, a tiny bit for her. So now that I have this magnificent child, I see a baby, and I just want to steal that baby. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to steal a baby, but I want to.
You know, Sarah Palmer is listening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, Sarah Palmer. Nice. Oh, talk about magnificent. Wow. Yeah, every time I get a little Avniel in my hands, I just, oof, what a runaway.
Yeah.
And just, like, hold that little baby close. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's a wild change, but to me, it kind of makes sense, like, from a lot of different perspectives, emotionally and evolutionarily, but I just love babies now. And and for you, you know, that that is just a wild thing. I feel like I've never really encountered a person who has this deep love for babies that came about it in such a different way than I came about it. Presumably. I mean, I know you had cousins. We all had cousins, though, right?
But like, not really. Yeah.
What's going on with this incredible baby love that you have? Because it's not just like a love that you have; it's a love that you give, right? It's a love that you give to these, to my baby, to others. I know your family is super psyched to have your love in their lives with all, you know, and you have a lot of baby cousins now and all this stuff.
God, it's been the baby year. Ollie was like right at the Ollie was at the forefront.
Well, it was a bit avant-garde, you might say.
Of the baby year, like the round of babies who we know who are just starting to turn a year old, as Ollie did last month. I think the first one was born on May 7th, just a bit over a week before Ollie, and now we're so blessed in our lives. And I think it's interesting, like, I'm the youngest sibling, as you know, and as anyone who listened to the show last week should know. And I think in part it came from I have these memories of being, you know, eight or nine or ten and watching like VCRs, like home videos, and feeling like envious that everyone else got to like hold me, but I didn't get to hold them. And I had this like fantasy, that's so funny, I haven't thought about this in so long. I had this like fantasy of like reaching into the TV and being like, I want to hold me. Not because I was very loved and very held and all those things, but just like, wow, that must have been fun. Like, I want to hold me.
Wow.
Like, I want to have known me then. And I don't know where that came from, but I know that that is something that then, like, I don't know where that itself came from, but I know that that then led me to be like, okay, well, I want to hold other babies. I remember being at like shul, like at synagogue as like a preteen and being the one who was like, can I hold your baby?
Wow.
Which I was like pretty little, but people were often pretty like, yeah, you can hold this baby and you sit down and hold the baby, something like that. And since then, it has evolved into lots of different things. And I think one thing that I think quite frequently now is that I've spent a lot of, as many of us I think have, or at least who work jobs not in person, like I've spent a lot of the pandemic being like, do I have a body? Is it there? Because a lot of what I'm doing, I could just be doing if I were a computer, but I'm doing it on the computer. If I just didn't have like a lower half of my body, or if I like didn't have of the fullness of self that I am. And there's so many things, right? Like going in the lake is one of them. Being with people, broadly speaking, is another. And babies is a specific one where I'm like, no, I definitely have a body, because otherwise I probably wouldn't be able to feed this baby at 3 a.m. on this, like, night shift that I'm doing. And otherwise, I wouldn't be able to, like, you know, hold this kid while the parent goes in the water. Like, I definitely need to be a self in order to do that thing. Also, they're, like, quite cute. You have the... As a person who was called Chub Chub for the first 5 years of his life, I feel that I would like to hand off the title. I am not deserving at all of the title having met your baby. So that is, I think, a big part of it, though, is that it's like, and they're also just like, they're people who, and they are people, like, they're people who me and you, we like probably have lots of anxieties and worries and existential fears and all the things. And like,
we certainly do.
Babies, you know, start to have some of those too, and they are full and complex people, but also it's kind of like a lot of their worries, they might be a complex problem to solve. It might be like, why is this baby crying all day when they don't usually cry or whatever, but mm-hmm. at least for really young babies, it's often a relatively known set of things. Like, it might be about they're hungry, yeah. or they need a diaper change, or yeah. they're tired, and it might be that you spend hours trying to figure out which one it is, but the set is closed. And they're also learning so fast, and that's something that's, like, constantly... I'm like, oh, you're, like, not doing anything. You're just lying there. It's like, no, you're, like, making connections.
All the time.
So this makes me want to ask about... There's, like, two directions I imagine going.
Those are all really good answers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Two directions that I imagine going from here, and one of them is a bit of, like, ooh, like, a little whatever, but, like, what do you love about Oli? What do you love about being Oli's parent? What do you love about being Oli's co-parent?
Yeah. What a sweetie.
So maybe we start there.
Sure, we can start there. Oh God, what a sweetie. Katie and I say that to each other all the time.
Mm.
It's so sweet. Because just everything about her makes our life, I've said to Katie and Matt, our life is just filled with sweetness
mm-hmm.
in a way that it has never been. And honestly, I don't really feel like it could be without a child. Some baby that is a part of our family.
Yeah.
Katie and I will, and part of it is the joy and the sweetness of being able to do just about nothing when they're born, and then very slowly but surely, and then extremely fast
mm-hmm.
and terrifyingly
mm-hmm.
fast, learning all of these things that they can do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really neat to start at kind of this, like, what, I don't know, like a base, base zero, base level of, like, I can coo and I can,
mm-hmm.
and I can drink milk, to she just crawling all over me. And to do that in 13 months, there's so many increments along the way. It's like a mountain of joy dished out incrementally over every other second or every other minute of the day in a way that is all consuming, that just infuses. That's my part for you.
Here, we can close.
If Katie hears this,
oh,
she's going to be like, oh, classic Hyde Park.
So I just, like, I didn't know that Hyde Park
was. Oh, funny. But no, it's just because we live in a lab place. Anyway, the joy is enormous and just very thoroughly spread out throughout the days. Katie and I will take photos of Oli during the day. We will enjoy immensely feeding her and putting her down and brushing her teeth where she goes, ah, and we brush her teeth. In that tiny little Oli voice, ah, and we brush her little teeth first. And then we'll put her down for the first several months of her life. When I would put her down, I would come in and just cry with Katie Mack because I was just so overcome with how sweet she is. So, like, she would fall asleep in my arms, and then I would come out, and I would just miss her and cry.
Oh.
And then pretty much, like, I mean, we did this last night. We will just look at photos of our daughter in bed. Like, we'll put her to bed, and then we'll look at photos. So, you know, do I have a problem? Maybe. But it is something that really fills our life with sweetness and joy. She's great with people. I call her the smile factory.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we're walking her around in the stroller or the carrier and she's facing out, she smiles at just about everybody. And people are pretty transfixed by her huge chubby cheeks and
mm-hmm.
also that she, you know, is, like, pretty happy and smiles. So they never look at me, right? But I have her right on my chest.
Yeah.
So I can, and they just look right at her. And she has this winning smile. And everybody smiles at her. And it's still sweet. I you know, every time we pass somebody and it happens, I say, smile factory.
Mm.
Smile factory.
How
She's
has,
so sweet.
having, well, I was going to say a baby, but I want, you know, how does having Oli change your relationships with other people and the people in your life?
Yeah, you know what? The phrase that I used about you earlier, like, you are magic around my daughter, or like for my daughter, you're a type of magic. Because I just think, you know, she really needs people in her life like you who are loving and strong role models, who are leading a values-driven life, who lead with conviction and compassion. You know, I want her to be around you all the time. And people like you. And I think we're really lucky that we have this, honestly, what feels like a really mighty community of great role models for my daughter. And so I have said about Oli, to answer your question, because we're talking about why we love babies so much.
Good repetition.
Yeah, yeah.
I always forget.
But your question about, like, how has it changed my relationship? I mean, I would just say, like, I have said of Oli, she is her own type of magic for my family. Mm-hmm. She really brings out the best in my brothers. And, you know, my brothers and I are much closer than we were than when we grew up, and much closer still, thanks to Oli, I think. I mean, it's such a joy to see them be wonderful, sweet, caring, present uncles with our daughter. Katie's and my daughter. It feels like magic, yeah. And then, you know, my mom, Oli's Nana, it's just so, it's just over the moon and just filled with love overspilling. It's lovely. So, you know, for the better. How does she change my relationships with others? It's for the better. I also make friends pretty easily.
I imagine that's not only since you had a baby.
Yeah, so actually that's something Katie said about me just recently, and I was kind of shocked by it. But so I try to be introspective and self-aware, but that was one time where I had just totally missed it. And she's like, yeah, you're always making friends. We went to a concert, and, like, I sat down next to somebody and started chatting. And when she came up to this is, like, our second date, by the way, since Oli's been born. And we went to a concert, and I was chatting with people, and, you know, she met the two people, and they were like, what's up? Oh, yeah, we're already friends. And Katie said, like, oh, yeah, he's always making new friends. And I was like, what? And she's like, are you serious right now? And so that was one of those times.
Truly, I'm like.
I failed in that introspection there. But I really do enjoy making friends. I don't know, that goes back to maybe the trust thing where I just feel like people are just friends that I don't know yet.
it's like you and my mom.
Oh, that's sweet.
Different in many ways, but I think, like, when I think about just, like, going up to people and talking to them, and Naomi maybe has this as well, I see that as like a thread there, and that's really fun to have. What is
hi
your...
Susan, hi Naomi.
Yeah. Hey to all our fans. Go Grizzlies.
I don't
remember what question I was gonna ask because I'm too much.
Because I'm distracting you in the middle of your very awesome radio show.
What is this radio show except for distraction?
Yeah.
That is what the radio show is. What do you, as you watch Oli get older, and first of all, well, before I ask this, I just want to say, like, I mean, I get to be around your kid a lot, which I'm really grateful for. And also, like, you have, like, a lot of friends who love Oli so much, and I see you guys with so many of them, and it is so, like, a conversation I've been having with various people over the last couple of weeks is, like, right, so many people have, like, you know, let's say if they're in a family with two parents, like, two grown-ups in their life, and then they get to know their teachers, but their teachers are kind of occupy a specific category, but, like, having other grown-ups in your life who love you is, like,
really
when
special.
You're a kid, from, you know, very early on, is, like, extremely special, and I just like, she already has that, so that's great. What is it like as you see her getting older, and she is still a baby, but, you know, soon she's gonna be a toddler, and all those
she's
things
kind of toddling now. Yeah,
she's kind of toddling. She's like, wow, she's moving fast. Like, what do you hope to hold about her babiness.
Her like thighs. I hold her thighs. They never get thin.
I know. I said to Katie once, I was like, we have to make sure that this baby knows that, like, we're going to love her no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what size.
She looks like, and also, she is pretty wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. What do I want to hold about her? Is this the second way that this was going to go? You're like, what do you love about Ollie? And then there was another.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this was the way.
This was the way. Nice. You came back around. Look at that. Dee Dee.
Radio host, you know?
Good radio. Amen. Can I get an amen out there? Hey.
Sorry, we didn't hear you guys.
Oh, funny. What do I hope to hold? The curiosity is great. I mean, you know, I'm almost surprised I didn't say that first. And lots of babies are like that, but it just seems like it's really hard for me not to be superlative with Ollie. When I say things that I like that are superlative and therefore not very helpful or like not true or like she's the best baby in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I try to never say that around her. Like, cause I just know that more for me than for like, she just seems, and that's fine. Like all parents feel like that. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's lovely. Maybe there's a place for that. As long as it's become a complex. And then Ollie has to spend many years of psychotherapy working that out. But
a question that we didn't go with on this list.
Well, we certainly could. Funny.
Curiosity.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about that at all. Like, I want to hold that, but I know I'm going to be, you know, what do you do with curiosity? You feed it, you encourage it, you try to satiate it sometimes. Is that a thing that you try to do? I guess. Just so she can go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
And like, when I'm putting her down, she's like, Uda? Uda? Like, what's that? And what's this? She's so excited about language, the verbal and sign language that we're teaching her. She's so excited about that. And we, Katie and I, really like to learn. Our family motto is, we can learn anything courageously.
Of course you have a family
motto. Yeah, we do. There's like definitely some things about me where it's like, oh yeah, that little characteristic, you plucked that out of 1850 or whatever, you know, or I don't even know when family mottos, but or you plucked, you know, you were wearing a bowler hat when you decided that or something. I don't know.
That's a hilarious way to say that.
Yeah, just what's going on. But there's some things about me where I'm like, yeah, like I have a passion for leading a values-driven life, and I think a motto kind of goes hand in hand with that. And I try to distill in that what I think of as two qualities that Katie and I bring well to our family.
Mm.
And so we can learn anything courageously. And so, you know, I think she's really going to put that. I was going to say to the test, but she's just going to like put that into action every day. So yeah, I'll hold that with her. I'm excited to hold her friendships that she makes, because we are a family that values friendships.
You are.
And
so,
and so when she makes friendships, that's going to be, you know, that are especially like ones that are more, I guess like when you're in school and stuff, you make friendships that are increasingly independent from your parents.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I'm excited about that. Like, who is she, you know, going to be friends with? Who is she going to bring into our lives? Like, that's something that's exciting for me. There's a lot.
So, as we are at the time that we're at, I want to, before we transition into a different question with your consent.
Absolutely.
The thing I like to ask people is, like, what is a thread from this first chunk of this conversation that you want to, not that you want to tie up, but that you want to leave us with, or that you want to keep tugging, kind of leave in the air as we transition into a different question. Or a question that you have. You know, we love questions.
I'm thinking. I'm not sure I have I have a solid thought yet, so sometimes I'll just fill the space with talking.
That's fine. We don't have to, we can.
Normally I bounce that to my students in my classroom. I was thinking about
that. That's a thread that you have.
Only because their voice is more important than mine in the classroom. But here, it is my voice. So, I mean, I'm really curious about the relationship between our love for babies, your and my particular mm-hmm. love, or just general love mm-hmm. for babies, and what we see is reflected by our babies about the world.
Hmm.
Like, what are we seeing in current events in our lives? How do we see the world through the lens of this baby life? This tiny child. And I'll say again as a thing to leave, not to dive into, but I've just gushed about this child who I love with all of myself. And I will admit that I have had some reservations about how completely I am in love and infatuated and taken, like all consumed by. It's just a wild thing. I people say there's nothing like it. I agree with them because it really does feel like something that takes so much of my focus. And, you know, I just stepped down from teaching. The job that I have absolutely adored for 12 years, and in some ways I maybe saw myself teaching for a really long time, and I'm so happy that I stepped back so that I can step into being a full-time father. But that is a wild thing, you know, this tiny, tiny human. Well, Ollie's not so tiny.
I was going to say.
this wonderful chub-chub.
Chunky.
Has a really enormous impact on us and in all the best ways. And also just like in, you know, how, who we are relative to society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a wild thing.
Yeah.
And so that's a nice place to.
Beautiful. To thank you for that thread. We're going to move into a different question. Wow. And the question that we're going to move into, you will again read.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a Benjamin question.
Yeah, so I wrote this question.
I'm excited.
And it'll take a metaphor explaining.
Oh, sorry. We're a no metaphor show, actually.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah, so I should have said in the ground rule.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The question is, what does it look like to grow a bigger jar that holds the rocks of sadness? So what's the jar and what are rocks of sadness? Well, when somebody passes away, whom you love, one way to visualize this tidal wave of grief that impacts us when we lose someone we love is maybe to oversimplify it as like a rock of sadness, and maybe a boulder of sadness or a mountain of sadness, but some kind of like object that contains sadness for the purpose of this analogy, which I saw somewhere and I found it helpful. The idea is not that you chip away at this boulder or mountain or rock of sadness over time. Because like, how do you ever get over it, right? Like, I think when I was faced with the death of my dad, who was my stepdad, but we were close, and I just thought of him as and called him my dad. And my two very loving and fantastic grandparents, my maternal grandparents, they passed away in February of 2021 from COVID. They were 90 and 89,
wow.
And they had wonderful, rich, impactful, filling lives. And I just love them so much. They passed away. That was really hard to lose them together. Of course, this was before vaccines, so we couldn't, you know, couldn't go to the hospital. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't be there. We couldn't mourn together. We couldn't grieve. And then my dad passed away the next month from cancer. And he was younger. He was, I think, 65. So, you know, he still had a some life to live in him, despite having a good long life in, by some measures. So I just felt like I had so much sadness in that time. And this is, so that was February, March, and then Oli was born in May.
Mm-hmm.
So I had all the sadness and all of this like joy on the horizon, but also like until your baby is healthy and in your arms, there's kind of a lot of anxiety there too. And I didn't know, I not only did I not know what to do with the sadness, I felt like there was so much sadness that I was like, I couldn't even carry it around with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was no way for me to harness it or to embody it or to even keep track of it. It just felt like it was almost its own live being, like carousing the like deep dark forest, and it was just going to come after me. And I wouldn't be prepared. It was just, it was like panic inducing
mm-hmm.
to be faced with the sadness because I love these people so much. I was really close with my grandparents. And actually, one of my favorite students helped me process some of the grief by doing a storytelling enrichment about that. Not unlike this,
wow.
this here podcast. Also, a freaking awesome Jewish activist, amazing young woman.
We love the Jews.
Amen. Amen. So, anyway, the rock of sadness, how do you not... I didn't know what to do with it then, but what are you going to do with it moving forward? I think perhaps it's common to think that you might chip away at it.
Right.
Like you'll just chip away at the grief. And a metaphor that I saw somewhere, I think a good friend sent it to me in the way that good friends do, where you actually don't ever get rid of the sadness. The sadness doesn't go away, and you are the jar. Like your body, your soul is the jar that contains the sadness. I mean, basically you just eat it. You carry that grief forever. And that feels better to me because it, first of all, I don't want to chip away at like these wonderful memories that I have with my grandma, you know, and all of these wonderful memories. I want to keep those. And so it feels better to think about holding sadness, which is just the other side of the coin of sadness, is love for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's keeping those sadness and those memories with me and in me, but that the jar gets bigger. Okay, so it's like, oh, I have this big rock and I have this jar, and the rock doesn't fit in the jar. What do you do? Like, how do you move on with your life? The jar gets bigger. So I am the jar, my friends, and the jar gets bigger. But like, what does it look like to do that? That is something I'm really figuring out. I just, two weeks ago, had my dad's celebration of life in St. Louis. He died in February 21, but, we, you know, for various reasons, it kept getting pushed back due to COVID waves and stuff. We just had a celebration of life this past couple weeks ago. So that's definitely on my mind as I think about all of us facing grief in our life, and we all get to, have to, need to grow the jar to contain this grief that we're facing. Some of us are facing much more than others, and I know I'm not at all near the high end. But what does that look like? So there's the question: what does it look like?
Yeah, you can get it.
I got it right here. What does it look like to grow a bigger jar that holds the rocks of sadness?
So the first thing that I am thinking about is an image, since we're in forbidden metaphor land here. you longtime listeners of the show will remember, maybe in my conversation with my very dear friend Michael, we talked about smallness, and I won't go too much into what we talked about, but you should listen to the show. But one thing that I'm thinking about now is that, like, Michael, my friend and I use this as as often as shorthand for, like we'll send each other a message when we're, like, kind of feeling sad or something, and it'll be, like, I'm small. Like, I'm small. Mm-hmm. And it means lots of different things, right? But one thing I think of in this is that with this image of, like, the rock and the jar is like, the smallness as an expression of the feeling of, like, the jar is too small, the rock's too big, the things don't fit together. Like, yeah. I am being, you know, forced to hold this thing that is, like, too big for me. So that's just, like, one starting image I wanna share. And then, even though it is your question, I will still have you do the, like, you just gave an introduction of what the question means, but what is your, like, opening statement on the answer? Like, how do we grow? Where have you been with how do we grow the jar? And, like, maybe as a road into that can start with, like, are there specific moments when you've been like, oh, the jar is bigger. Okay.
Yeah.
And what have the, like, what has led to those?
Well, so one thing that, that makes your jar like the Grinch's heart that's a, like, a weird Christian Christmas.
I think I have that
reference, but his heart grew 3 times that day.
Yeah.
Something that does that to your jar is having an Oli in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to the point where, like, I was actually a little bit worried that these two things wouldn't play super nice together. Meaning, like, I would either be so overcome with joy for my daughter, or for my child at the time, mm-hmm. it was before she was born, that I might not be able to process the grief. Mm-hmm. Like, it would just be all-consuming in a nice way, but that it would also kind of, like, default me to avoiding the grief.
Yeah.
I think what has really helped me grow my jar. First of all, you have to have friends who understand grief a little bit. And so friends who take time to learn about the grieving process, or maybe already know about it from their own life, so that they can put you at ease. Because there's just a lot of, like, missteps that society tells us, or, like, myths that society tells us about grief. And without getting too much into it, just, like, that you have to be done being sad at a certain time, and that everybody should, you know, follow the same path, and that, like, whatever 5 stages of grief mm-hmm. are followed linearly and never returned to, and blah, blah, blah. Like, there's just lots of myths floating around out there that people have just kind of consumed, I think, without thinking too deeply about it. And that can be really painful for the people grieving to encounter those myths frequently. And because, like, the problem with the myth is not just that it's mostly not true for most people, but also that it can be really harmful or, like, small-making to a person if they feel like they're not fitting into your preconceived notion of how grief should look. So having friends who are willing to not shy away from the grief, like, engage me about it. Friends who, like, you asked about my dad's celebration of life, you know? And that was a moment where, like, let's talk about how it was really hard and like, you know, some of my struggles with it before and after. But having friends who are supportive of that and who know, who have thought a little bit deeper than just the myths of how to grieve and, like, the right way to grieve. But then the other thing is, like, honoring their memory in stories is really powerful for me. Honoring their memory in action, in, like, actions that they would do or that they would love is really powerful for me. But the power, you know, stories, I mean, our brains are wired to really process and connect and love through stories. And the storytelling enrichment that I do with my student was so phenomenal and so healing for me. And I wrote a speech at my grandparents' celebration of life. And that can be really terrifying. Like, I know some people in my family that were just, like, so terrified of just the idea of getting up and, like processing this and, like, doing this speech. For me, just the processing of that speech for my grandparents was one of the most healing things I did. And I wrote it at just this wild time in my life. Oli was on the day of my grandparents' celebration of life, Oli was 4 weeks old to the day. And so I wrote this speech honoring my grandparents, and it was actually a speech to Oli, because it was me reflecting on and thinking about how to honor my grandparents' lives by way of sharing with Oli who I hope she can become to honor them. And I wrote that speech, like, you know, over 3 days, like the 3 days right before the memorial service, because I have this newborn. And I'm writing it from like 2 to 4 a.m. because, like, that's when I'm up with Oli and she won't go to sleep or whatever, right? It's just like such a chaotic time, but I'm so glad that I did, because for me, putting myself through this work of thinking deeply and putting to words some of the things that they meant to me and then sharing that with others via a story was really, like, I think that grew my jar a lot. I think that did.
What, since we had these two questions in the show, like, I want to ask about, as your child starts to be able to do more and more things, but also, like, experience more and more ranges of articulated emotions, like, what do you want her to know about jars and rocks and how they work?
I don't know how they work. I know that when I have the courage with Katie Mack to face some of the sadness rather than hide from it, yeah, we can grow the jar a bit. And I'm not even sure, like, I don't really know how that is, but having a capacity to withstand the discomfort, because I think on the other side of this grief and sadness is the love that you've had for them while they were alive, but a love that you can carry with you into the future. And I don't understand. Yeah, my dad died when I was 7. Katie's dad died when she was 17. Katie's mom died when she was 27. My grandparents, they were so close in my life. And my stepdad died when I was 33. And given all of that loss, I am not super sure, and I'm also okay not knowing exactly how it works, but I think if we can be really clear about what we love about the people that we've lost and what it was about those things that we love that honors their life, that we can access the love that we have for them during their life. And I think it really helps to tell the story. I think it really helps to honor those things and honor their life through telling the story of who they were and what they meant to us. I think it's not at all selfish to describe what you love about somebody in terms of how they make you feel.
An impeccable quote. And
I think it's a great way.
Beautiful way to.
I think it's a great way.
As the time flies. Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for all of that. We are shockingly, as
no.
happens, almost at the end of this show.
Phew.
That was a lot.
That was hard. Yeah.
Thank you for that. I do like a... I love breathing on air. Well, we'll see about lightning round in a second, but I want to ask the two... Oh, time. the two questions, which are, one is, what's a question that's on your mind? It could be the one that we just talked about, or it could be a different one. And the second is, who's a person who you want to hear on the show?
We didn't really get to talk about your jar and racks at all. I would have loved to hear, and we still can, just off air. But that, you know, that's a question, is like, how's your jar doing, baby? Mm-hmm. How's your jar? And what do you do? Can you brew your jar? What do you know? I bet we have some wisdom together.
Yeah.
I want to see... So I thought about this. I really want to see Oli on the show.
Ah! God willing. Man. Well, it's actually perfect. The person who I last interviewed was like, I would love to see a kid, like, have a kid on the show. Yeah, I was like, okay, well, we're going to do a very brief lightning round.
I'm ready.
Okay. Is love a feeling or an action? They are real lightning.
It is both.
Are there things that you should not be willing to question?
No, absolutely not.
How can I feel gratitude in a more full and present way?
Practice it, because gratitude is just like math. It's just like a sport. Practice makes better.
He's such a teacher. What is stability?
Stability is knowing. Stability, I think, comes mostly through people and relationships. And stability is knowing that when you have conflict with that person, that you can process that conflict and have you build your relationship stronger.
Perfect segue. How can I be less intensely affected by small conflicts?
LOL. Good luck. Good luck. Try to think about them less. Try to block them out. I don't know. I feel like I'm hijacked by that silly stuff all the time.
And the last one is, why do we catch up with friends?
Oh, funny. Because we are blessed that our lives are filled with too many people, then we can just be with all the time. You know, it would be sick if we just got to live in some really epic house that housed all of the people that we love. But since we can't, and we don't get to talk to them every day or see them every day, sometimes you gotta catch up to keep that relationship tight.
Beautiful. Thank you. So much.
Thank you.
To you for so many things and for this conversation. And thank you to everyone listening here or in the future. And just so grateful that I get to sit for an hour at a time and hang out and talk. And I'll play us out with Familiarity by the Punch Brothers, Benjamin's choice of outro song. And see you all here next week, same time, same place. Tune in. We'll be quiet during the outro song. Here we go.
It's on again. You hate it, but you know it then. You know it, and so do your friends. And you can sit together. Makes